The Mishnah says in Daf Ches Amud Beis, the Tola b'chol davar she'yachol l'lavos. When it comes to Ksamim, you have the ability, the right to be Tola, to attribute the Kesem to any reasonable source other than Migufa. Shachta behema chayiv of. If a woman is involved in a shkita and the dam is attributable to the shkita of the animal, this aska l'ksamim, she's handling the blood on her hands. Oshayashva mitzad oskim man, she's sitting next to such people, fine. Then the Mishnah says, harga ma'acholes, if she kills a louse, harezu tolava. So you have the right to be tola, the dam, the kesem, on the ma'acholes. Ad kamatola, so to what degree, to what extent do you have the right to be tola on a ma'acholes? Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus omer ad kigris shel po. So you have the right to be tola up to the size of this bean, of the pole bean. The alpha pishalo harga. And that's true even if she didn't actually kill the macholas. Now take a look at the Gemara. Harga macholas, the fourth line of the Gemara. Harga in lo harga lo. So the Mishnah sounds like you're only allowed to be told on a macholas if you actually kill the macholas. Harga macholas raised the tolaba. So that first time in the Mishnah sounds like you actually have to kill the macholas. Masnisim mani Rav Shimon Gamliel. So the order that line of the Mishnah must be Rav Shimon Gamliel. The Tanya harga tolal harga in a tolad. Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rav Shimon Gamliel is it. Well, through that shita, that you could only be tola and macholas if you actually killed the macholas. If you kill the louse, then you can attribute the blood, the kesem, to a louse. If you didn't kill a louse, you have no right to attribute the kesem to a louse. So chama omrin, benkach and benkach tola. Chama say, no, you're allowed to be tola and macholas, even if you didn't kill the macholas. Amr Shem Gamliel, so within this price, the Gemara's quoted, Shem Gamliel responds, Lidvarai ein kates. According to my position, that you can only be tola in a macholas if you actually kill the macholas, there's no end, or there's no limit. Lidvarai chaverai ein sof. And according to my colleagues, according to Chachamim, you could always be tola, that has no end. What does that mean? Lidvarai ein kates, she'en lecha isha she'tahora lebaila, she'en lecha kamita mita, Sheva kama tipe dam macholas. See, if you hold like me, like Rav Shimon Gamliel, then you're only allowed to be tola if you actually killed the macholas. So everyone in the world is going to end up being tameya with ksamim, because every bed is infested or exposed to macholases or exposed to bugs that could create dam, that could generate dam. And if you're only allowed to be told if you actually kill the bug, then all these women are going to be tameyos because they'll have blood that's really from the bugs, but they didn't kill the bug, or they didn't know they killed the bug, and they won't be able to be told. And l'divrei chaverei ein sof, according to the Chachamim, who say that you're allowed to be told even if you didn't kill the macholas, there's no end in the other direction. She'en lecha isha she'en atol l'bayla, she'en lecha kalsad v'sad, and she'en bakamik tipei dam. So every woman is going to be tahora because you'll always be able to be tola any dam on a macholas. Aval nir and divrei b'chanina benatignos mei divrei divrei. So Shmuel Gamliel says that the most logical, rational position is that of b'chanina ben Antignos, who has a middle position. Shaya omer Akama hitola ad kigris shelpo, that you're allowed to be tola up to a gris, even lo harga. So according to the Chacham, the Shem Gamliel presents it, even lo harga, you can be tola more than a gris. According to the Shem Gamliel, if it's lo harga, you can't be tola even less than a gris. And Chanina ben Antigas is the middle position, that even if lo harga, you're allowed to be tola up to a gris. Okay, just parenthetically before we go on, what is the macholas that we're talking about? So I translated it as a louse. The Gemara in Daf Yutas Amud Beis has a line that according to Zeiri, Dam Nida is Kamacholes Shel Rosh. Kedam Macholes Shel Rosh, about 10 lines from the bottom. If we talk about a Macholes in this context, we're talking about a Helles. And that is, by the way, the Lashon of the Mechaber in Sif Hei. Mechaber Simon Kutsadi Sif Hei. Actually, the Mechaber doesn't say a Helles per se, the Mechaber says Kina. The Gemara uses the term Acholes. The Gemara Daf Yutes quotes from Zeiri Macholes Shel Rosh, so Macholes Shel Rosh presumably is a louse, because that's the kind of bug that attaches to the head. So the Mechaber uses the Lashon of Dam Kina. However, the Rashba notes there in Daf Yutes Amud Beis, as well as the Ramban and the Ritva, that Zeiri says Macholes Shel Rosh, but Lahalacha, at least in our sugya, we seem to be assuming any macholas, any louse, because we're talking about bugs in the beds, stinim in the mita. So we're only talking about a head louse, and why are we talking about kol sadin v'sadin? Kol sadin v'sadin sounds like we're talking about other kinim, not only kinim on the head. But okay. So at first glance, it sounds like this three-way machlokas tanayim has, or at least part of what's behind the machlokas tanayim, focused for the moment on Rav Shimon Gamliel and Chachamim, with Chinin Mantin just being the compromise position, but what seems to be behind this machlokas tanayim is whether the tliya on a macholas is a regular type of tliya or a different, or not a regular type of tliya. Regular type of tliya means, as the first case of the Mishnah, that if a woman is in the sask of a tzame and she's handling bloodstains, then you have the right to be tola on those tzame. If a woman is shechting, or she's walking through the shuk shel tabachim, then she has the right to be tola the dam on all the blood that's flying around in the shuk shel tabachim. But if she's not walking through the shuk shel tabachim, then you have no right to be tola on the dam from the shuk shel tabachim. If she's not in the sask of a tzame, you have no right to be tola on those kinds of tzame. So that's a generic kind of tliya, which means that if there is a reasonable explanation as to where the dam came from, you could attribute the dam to that reasonable explanation, but if not, then not. So is a tliya b'macholos the same kind of a tliya? That if you know that there's a macholos around, you have the right to be told of a macholos. If you don't know there's a macholos, you don't. Or is this a different category, that there is a carve-out when Chachamim made Zeres Tzamin, there is a carve-out that any dam, which is the size that could be attributable to Macholes, is going to be Tahor, not subject to Tumas Kesamim, even if you don't know that there's a Macholes around per se, or even if you definitely know there are no Macholeses. That seems to be what's at play in the Machlokas Tanaim here, whether you have the right to be Tola, Filo Harga, even if there's no Macholes, even if you didn't kill a Macholes, is there a blanket carve-out that's attributable to a Macholes that was never included in Gzeiras Ksamim? So if that's the case, the fact that we pass in like the middle position of Rav Chanina ben Atignos sounds like that you have the right to be tola on a up to a gris, even if you are lo harga, even if you didn't kill a Macholes. That's what Shimon Gamliel presents Rav Chanina ben Atignos' position. And Rabbi Karr points out in Mishnah Satara, page Samach Beis, that's the mashmos of the Rambam as well, the way the Rambam presents these halachas in Perek Tes, halacha Vav. The Rambam writes, Yisrei Bia Perek Tas Halach Abav. That's the Mishnah Nedari in Perek Vav Mishnah Aleph. It tells you that the gris we're talking about is a gris HaKilki, the gris from the land of Kilki. So if you find the kesem on a beged, it's only mitami if it's more than a shear of a gris. Shehu meruba, sheyesh bo kidei teish hadashos, shalosh hashalosh. So 36 hairs. Hayapachas mishiris ha-tahor. So the Rambam makes no mention of macholas. He just says that if you have dam that's less than a shear gris, it's going to be tahor. If it's more than a shear gris, then it's subject to tumas ksamim. That sounds like we don't care whether there's macholas around at all. Everything is dependent on the shear gris, independent of whether there's a macholas. Now it is true that the Rambam does talk about tliya b'machalos and halacha kaf gimel, peretes halacha kaf gimel, nimsa kesem al begadehu b'sara ke'echad, tolo b'chal yesh lot lilos. If you have a kesem that straddles basar and beged, then you can use any reasonable tliya. V'tolo b'macholos, jema v'eis sheyashva nerga macholos, v'dam zedam macholos. V'akam akigris. So there, the Rambam tells you the shir gris, but he's also talking about Tulia bin Macholas. Okay. And Rabbi Carr points out the Ravid also, Ravid in Sharik Samim Os Kaf Aleph. The Ravid writes that since Chazal never tell us what kind of pole to be told on, the Ravid writes, Misharin b'chol pol shi is dami lanu. You can be Mishar based on any being that you encounter. Afilu hu gadol, even if it's a big pole. Shoy amru kol shi yirei chachamim lahachmir chus mi kigriv shal kisamim lahakel. Because chachamim say that you can be tole when it comes to kisamim, we use a gris to be makel. Meaning to say that if all that concerned us is having some macholas, so then what's the Ravid say? You could use whatever size pole you find. Question should be, how big are the macholas is in your neighborhood? So the fact that the Ravid says you can be tall in any size pole that you find sounds like, at the end of the day, we're only operating with an objective shear gris, independent of whether there's any macholas around to be tall on or not. That's what the Ramban writes as well, Perek Dalit, Halacha Dalit, and the Ramban Silchos Nida. The Ramban paskins that you could be, that the Shir Gris that we're talking about, like the Rama writes, is the Shir Gris Akliki, like you have in Hilchos Negayim. But if you find a larger Gris, then you could be Mishayar based on the larger Gris. So the default is the Gris Akliki, but if you find a larger Gris, you can be talking a larger Gris again. Now, it doesn't sound like we're concerned about the size of any local macholas, but there's an objective carve-out that any time you have a kesem that's less than the shear of a gris, you have the right to be tola, you have the right to be mekel, that's not subject to the chumra of ksamim. Yeah?
The Ravid doesn't have the gris in the Gemara as being, or the mechalas in the Gemara as being a minimum. Though, in theory, if someone were to live in a place where there's really no common bugs, then you would not be able to be tola on any shear.
Why do you say that?
Because he's saying it's based on whatever you find in your area.
He's saying it's based on the size of your local bean. That even if you find whatever size bean you have, you can be tola on the bean, independent of whether there's a macholas. Misharin b'chol pol sheyizdami lanin. Afilu hu gadol.
Okay.
We're not concerned about the size of the local bugs. We're concerned about as long as you have a pole around, whatever bean, you can be tola on that bean. And that this Ramban, that even if the default is the shear gris hakliki, but if you find a larger gris, you can be tola on the larger gris, That seems to be reflected in the Tzak and the Mechaber. You take a look at Sifei. Lo gozer al kesem el in kein yesh bo kigris v'od. V'shir agris hu kitesha adashim. Gimel agimel. V'shir adasha kidal et saros. To lamed vav saros. V'chol zman she'emo kitesha shir anatolin lo mar dam kinahu. As long as it's not a shir gris v'od, you can be told and say that it's dam kina. Alfa pishalo harga kina, even if you didn't kill a kina. Rav Rosner points out in the Shir Shevet Levi here that the Lashon Tliya is a little bit ladaka. If we're saying that it's not a generic Tliya, so it's not that you're Tola, it's that you have the right to be Makel, and Tliya is just a little bit of a borrowed term because that's the terminology that we're using in the whole Siman. Okay, so he says, Kolzman She'eba Kazesh Shir Anatolin Lomer Dam Kinahu, Afa Bishalo Harga Kina, Ava Kashiyeshba Kazesh Shir, Ein Tolin Bikina. But if the shear, if you have a kesem that's the size of a kigris v'od, then you can't be tall in a kina. Beinim hum meruba, oshu aruch. V'im this damein la gris yoser gadol misah shear misharba. If you live in a place that there's a larger gris, that's a Ramban, you can be tall even in the larger gris, even if it's larger than the gris hakliki. So the Taz writes, why can you be tall in a larger gris? Taz the katan zayim. Darminan, the Esher the Yesh Kina Yoser Gdola. Ta says you can be told in a larger gris because maybe there's a larger Kina. Now, according to what we're saying, you don't have to come on to that. Even if there is no larger Kina, the nature of the carbon of gris like Samin is that Chachamir never goes there on a Kesem that's a sheer gris. That if you have a shear gris, whatever that is, you could be mako, even if you don't have a kina that is as big as the shear gris. And the Aruch HaShulchan makes that point as well, not like the Taz. The Aruch HaShulchan in Se'if Kavav, he quotes the Taz, and he says, Eina muvan klal. What does the fact that you might have a larger kina have to do with being mako for a larger gris? That's what the Rav said, that you have the right to be mako with a larger gris even if you don't have a larger makolas. So the Aruch HaShulchan suggests that maybe to explain the Taz, Chazal had a tradition that you could have dam kina that's as large as the biggest gris, but since we don't know what the biggest gris is, you only have the right to be taller whatever gris we're familiar with. So when the Taz says that maybe there's a kina that's that big, what it means to say is that the institution of the gris carve-out was predicated on the fact that you could have dam kina that's as big as the largest gris. So he basically tries to explain the Taz, even in light of what we were saying, that there's an objective carbon of a shear gris, even if there's no macholes to correspond to that shear gris.
How would you explain there, the Chacham are saying we're okay with any macholes we have are as big as the biggest pool in the world?
So the way the Aruch HaShulchan says it is that Chazal carved out, when they made the Gzeiras Tzomim, they had a carve out for any dan that is a shear, up to a shear gris, because you could have a dan macholos that's as big as large as shear gris.
But they don't know what that is.
Or that would depend on whatever locale you're in. So you only have the right to be taller whatever gris you're aware of. But the theory was that if there's a gris out there that's big, that's as big as whatever, then the assumption is that you could have Dhamma Chalas that size as well. The Aruch HaShulchan then goes on to say, Sif Yuches, so if it's the case that you have the right to be told about Macholas, or if it's the case that Chazal were carved out from the Zeres Ksamim any dam that's up to the Shear of Macholas, so why don't we say that you could be Makel even up to two Shear Grises or three Shear Grises? Because if each Shear Gris corresponds to the possibility of Dam Macholas, well, you could have multiple bugs next to each other, or multiple macholuses next to each other, that could create a larger amount of blood. So if you're able to be tolub b'macholas, so why can't you be makel even more than a gris and say, well, it could be that you had multiple, if you have multiple dam, that's the size of multiple grisim, maybe that corresponds to the possibility of multiple macholuses that were next to each other. The Aruch HaShulchan says we don't go that far. And the reason for the Gzeiros Ksamim was, as the Shem Gamliel expressed, that if you're not going to be makel for a shear less than a gris, then every woman in the world is going to be unnecessarily tameya because of the preponderance of Dam HaCholos around. So Chachamim only needed to come up with a solution to that problem, and the solution to that problem was to have a carve out up to a shear gris. But to have more than that, to carve out multiple shear grisim, that wasn't necessary to address the problem that spurred the carve out to begin with, and therefore we have no right to be makel to that extent. That was never included in the original formulation of ksamim. Okay. Now we know the last time the Chasam Sofer in Kuf Pei Beis, who was explaining the sheet of the Rav Av Beis Din that the Rav quoted and rejected, that Gzeiros Ksamim originally had its origin in a period when we're makbid on Tumah V'Tahara, and everything was nikba based on the standards that existed at the time when we were makbid on Tumah V'Tahara. And therefore, the Shear Gris is established based on the size of a Macholas in the time of Chazal. And that Shear is not subject to change. So even if, in theory, you don't have Macholas of that size anymore, because it was Nikba at that point in history, that was the way the Takana, or the Gzeiros Ksamim, was formulated with the carbon of Gris. And that remains forever. At that point, you can say, even without the Chasam Sofer's logic, even if it has nothing to do with Tumah V'Tahara per se, that could still be the nature of the carve-out, as we explained in the Ravid and others. That's what Ramosha writes in Yoredeya Chela Gimel Simen Mem Vav. Yerodei Achela Gimel Simen Mem Vav, paragraph beginning Ula Inyan. Yerodei Achela Gimel Simen Mem Vav, paragraph beginning Ula Inyan. And Rav Moshe writes something similar in Kuf Tan Beis Os Dalid. So again, Achela Gimel Simen Mem Vav, and Achela Gimel Simen Kuf Mem Beis Os Dalid. He quotes the Chasam Sofer. And he says to the Chasam Sofer, you get the impression that had Gzeiros Ksamim originated because of the Issur Levaila and not because of Tumah V'Tahara, then nowadays it would be Asur even B'Pachos Mikagris if we don't have Macholuses anymore that are the size of a gris. And Rosh says that's incorrect. That the Gzeiros was made in such a way that there was an absolute carve-out for less than a gris, independent of the size of a macholas. The Achronim quoted Shuvas Vilstaka in the earlier Achronim, in the 1700s. Shuvas Vilstaka, Simon Kazayin, writes the following. Mil Saka Seven Kafsai. Hinegis Kashisi Bishi Uram. The difficulty understanding the shear of a gris. Kiyala Lashir Godel Yoser Mimasha Efshar Leo Stam Kina Mispashet. Vidati. So if you calculate whatever shear gris is, we'll talk about the calculation soon, it comes out to a shear much larger than any contemporary dam kina. She asked Shayim Sakane, she is Pashi dam kina Bisheta Kaseh. So the Mil Saka is writing, I believe in the 1700s, that if you experiment nowadays, you won't find any louse that is going to create the amount of blood of a gris. The alkal zen yerli, he called midas chachamim kenhu. The efshar ki lios ba'osan azmanim kol ashiur yoser gadol l'fi erech hanash ba'osan azmanim. So it could be that years ago the shiurim were larger, and there were bugs that generated larger quantities of dam. But once the shiurim were established in days of yore, they don't change. That was the nature of the gzeiros chazal. So just like there was a carve-out, gzeiros chazal was never established on a beged tzavua, and Zerus Tum was never established on the Darvish Yedim Kabbalah Tumma. It was never established on a Shir Kigris. The Afki is Matu Gamke Nadashim Le'era Chakamus Efshar Shaha Gidulim Eina Mismatim Kol Kach. The Mil Saka assumes that even if the shear gris doesn't correspond to our reality of Adam HaKholes, it doesn't make a difference. And again, that fits with the Mahalath that the Tliya, or the ability to be Mako for a Kesem less than a few gris, it's not a generic Tliya. You don't need a Macholos to point to. You don't need Harga. So even if we don't have Macholos of that size anymore, you still have the right to be Mako less than a gris. That was the Chuvas Mil Saka Sivan Kazai. And that's the approach of many Akronim, that the Shir Kedris Ode is not a standard Taliya, and even if we don't find the Macholus that size anymore, you still have the right to be Mako. For Moshe, in the Chuvah that we just referenced, assumes that it's a Davar Pasha. So even if you know that the Dam is Migufa, it's not a macholas. It's not from a macholas. You know that the dam is migufa. You still could be mako. That's like that Taurus HaShlamin that we saw in the beginning in Siman Kuf Pei Gimel, that if you have dam that's less than a gris, even if you know that it's migufa, a woman is tahora so long as there's no hargasha. Right? We know that machlokas between the Taurus HaShlamin and the Shlomo Eger. So Ramosha in this tshuva is assuming like the Taurus HaShlamim, which is the position of Rav Achronim, that even if you know, as long as there's no Hagasha, even if you know that the Dam is Migufa, if it's a Kesem less than a Gris, it's not Mitame. That's what the Rashash writes as well on Daf Membeis on Membeis. The Rashash Membeis on Membeis, that you always have the right to be told on a Shir Gris, even if you know it's Migufa, even if you know there's no Machalas. And the Darki Tshuva writes as well, Darki Tshuva in Sipkat and Lamed Vav. Darki Tshuva was the Mishnah Brua style work that was published under the auspices of the Munkacher. So Darki Tshuva, Sipkat and Lamed Vav writes, Pashidhu, Dafil bibnos melachim ushar mefut nakim bidolim. Even if you're dealing with royalty and spoiled, finicky people, Shagufan ubigdeyan umitasan nikiyam ubiduki mikol shamis lechloch vizia, who would never have any dirt or anything like that on their clothing or their sheets or beds. Still, you have the right to be made Lepachas Mikagris, even if there's no way there could have been a Macholas, because that's the nature of Gezeiras Ksamim. Okay, so that's Reb Moshe, like the Toras HaShlamim, the Rishash, the Arki Tshuva, and many of them take that position. Sidrei Tara is Machmir. Sidrei Tara is Sukkotan Samach Aleph, which is part of that discussion we had earlier with the Shlomo Eger, that if you know something's Vada Yigufa, even without Hargasha, you have to be Machmir. So he would say that's the case, even be Pachos Mikigris.
If you know it's Mikufa?
If you know it's Migufa. Right. Now there is a line in the Uraim which some understand to mean that you don't have the right to be Mekel without a real Macholas. The Uraim has the following line, quote of the Piskei Tshuva Sifkatan Tes. If you have your Shulchan Aruch open. The Uraim is in Simen Kav Vav, Hej Kav Beis of the standard print of the Uraim. But we can take a look. If you have the Piskei Tshuva, see how the Piskei Tshuva quotes it, which is more or less a verbatim quote. The Uraim writes, quote in the beginning of Piskei Tshuva, Sikot and Tess, the Anan lo bikinan shapir mahu gris shalpol. We are not sufficiently proficient to identify what is a gris. Hilkach sarech lihizahir b'ksamim. Therefore, you have to be careful when it comes to ksamim. Lefi shikol hadas, based on your sense. She'ein dam acholes upir oshim rabba. Because the blood of Macholuses and Piroshim, we'll talk about Piroshim in a little while, because the blood of Macholus and Piroshim are not many, large. Okay, again. Analo b'kinan shakir ma'a grith shalpo, hilkach, Sarech lihizahir b'tzanin lefi shikol adas she'ein da macholas upir oshim rabba. Okay, so what does the Uraim mean in this line? Lechem esimla is the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Lechem esimla has two sides, the lechem and the simla. So this is in simla sekatin yibes. And Rabbi Eider as well in the first chapter of his book, footnote 99. So both the Lechem Esimla and Rabbi Eider assume that the Uraim here is against the Chasam Sofer. The Uraim means to say that nowadays you have to evaluate your gris based on the size of a contemporary Macholas. So when he says we're not bekiyan in what a shir gris is, therefore you have to be careful about ksamim based on your estimation as what's the actual amount of blood that could be produced by macholas, since ein da macholas v'rosh rabba, the blood produced by macholas is not as much as it used to be.
How are you supposed to determine exactly, like what do you use to determine the size you get from
So you look on the internet, you see
claw.
What the average size of a louse is.
What? So you have a very thick claw, it's going to make a small stain, or depending on
the... Okay, so then there'll be a little bit of...
If you have like a very thin claw, you could get a very big stain.
If you take the measurements, there'll be a little bit of leeway to account for that. But the theory of what the way the Lechem Esimla understands the Uraim is that you have to be able to estimate what is the maximum amount of blood that a contemporary louse could produce. we'll see in a few moments that the standard size of a gris that we work with is, let's say, around 90 millimeters, give or take a little bit. So if you look on, if you look around on the internet, you'll find that the standard maximum size of louse averages about 2 to 3 millimeters. And then, Rabbi Ezra Schwartz pointed out to me, if you crush it, that's going to be a little bit larger to get at the blood. But that's going to be much less. That's going to be much less than 90 millimeters. So this understandably, Ray would say, they have to figure out what is the maximum amount of blood that could reasonably be squeezed out of a contemporary louse, and you only have the right to be medical up to that point. And the Lacham Simla says that a Baal Nefesh, he's not pasturing like the Ray in Lock, Stock, and Barrel, but he says a Baal Nefesh should be Choshesh L'atzmo. That is not Pachma with finesses, but a Baal Nefesh should be Mach. However, it is possible to understand the Urayim differently. Rav Avadya points this out, page Shin Samotes. Rav Avadya, page Shin Samotes. Rabbi Carr points this out in page Samot Gimel. And the Tofos Re'eim is the classic commentary printed on the bottom of the Urayim. Tofos Re'eim, Os Ayin Bey, says this. That the Urayim is not coming to be Machmir, it's coming to be Mako. So he says, how does he read the Urayim? Adalo Bekina Shapir Ma'av Gris Shopo. So we're not so aware what a Shir Gris is. And therefore, you could be Mako to use even a larger Shir Gris. And then when he said, Hilkat Sarav Lizar B'Tzomim, you have to be careful about Tzomim, means to say, not like the Rav HaBezdin, who says that we don't care about Tzomim nowadays anyway, at all, because we're not Makbid and Taros. No, we are concerned about Tzomim, we have to continue observing Hilchos Tzomim. That's how the Tofos Re'eim reads Yireim. Now admittedly, you have a couple dochics that you have to overcome to read it that way. Because number one, the Hilkach doesn't sound that way. Anlo Bekina Shapir Ma'agris Shalpo. We're not properly Bekiyim in what a gris is. So he reads it, and therefore you could be Mekel to use a bigger gris. Therefore, you have to be careful about Ksamim nowadays, not like the Rav HaBezdin, because Ksamim are still a Maisa. So what's that therefore? That therefore doesn't really fit Hilkach. And then he says, Shei Dam Achos, Rosh HaRabah, because there isn't as much blood anymore. So where does that fit? And if you're saying that you could be Mako to use a bigger shear gris, and you still have to be careful that Hilka Summer no way. So what does he mean? Fisha Ein Dam Achos, Rosh HaRabah. That doesn't seem to fit either. So ostensibly, the reading of the Lacham Simla is smoother in the array, and then that is the post array. Yeah.
And so the if you do read like Rav Avadya or Rav Karp, doesn't that, it's not necessarily kula. It's you're recalculating. So it could be kula, it could be a fumra.
Well, he's saying it's a kula. You have the right to be makel even with a bigger shear gris.
But what they're reading in subtext in the Urayim being that there's still like similar to what the Ramban said is there's still a minimum of chazal's gris.
I presume so, yeah.
Okay.
So the Lechem, practically the Lechem Asimla, would hold, if he's going the Chumra, reading the Urayim, what would that mean?
Well, he's saying Baal Nefesh, Shafesh, Lachem. So if you're Baal Nefesh, then you could only be Mako, let's say, up to 4 millimeters instead of 19 millimeters.
Wow. Because that's the baseline, the Chazak is, that's, or because?
Because that is the Shir Matholus, the Zmanenim.
What? Oh, meaning like the last documented time. Because he said, because if you read it in the array and the Chumrah, he's saying we're not Bekiyim the Shir. So that means based off of the last noted time that we know.
No, based on the size of Macholos Bismanenim. Since we're not Bekiyim exactly what a gris is, so you only have the right to be Mekel based on what you know Macholos Bismanenim to produce.
Yeah. Lacham Simla says if you're about Nefesh, you'll go by Sefer Urayim.
About Nefesh should be Machmer like the Urayim, right?
Seems to be the Chumrah.
So Rav Avadya does quote from Rav Shlomo Kluger in his Sefer Shi'ari Tara, who writes also that Niskanu Hashirim, that we don't know what a gris really is anymore because our shirim are smaller, and therefore you only have the right to be makel based on a contemporary macholas. And this may be the position of the Maharil as well. Chuvis Maharil Hachadoshos Simin Sadi Gimel Oslov. Maharil Hachadoshos Simin Sadi Gimel Oslov. Maharil writes, V'eina yodeya me'eza tam yishtana lididan. I don't know why the halacha should change nowadays. Shema Allah v'datcha d'macholas didan ketanim heim vididhu. What, do you think that our macholuses are smaller than they used to be? Do you think that the lice got smaller? So minay lecha, where do you get that from? Our lice are the same size that they always were. So that's a footnote there in the Maharil. Sounds like, if you're able to prove that the lice are smaller, then you'd only be able to be taller based on your contemporary lice.
Where did he live?
Maharil was in Germany in the 1400s. You can research the size of German lice in the 1400s.
Well, no, it's very far away then.
I'm sorry?
You could say you're going to attend the Malcolm or whatever, even if they don't change over time.
You're correct, yeah. Okay, no Hanami. But the Mashmos and the Maharil is like the first reading of the Uraim, like with Shlomo Kluger, Paskins, and Maisa, that you have to evaluate based on the contemporary Machalos. But again, most posts don't assume the way. Most of us can assume that you have the right to be makel based on a shear gris independent of what a macholos is. How do you know what a shear gris is? So the formulation in Shulchan Aruch from the Rambam, based on the precedent in the Gaon, is Tesadashim, Lamed Vasara. So what does it all translate into? Rav Moshe writes, Yaradeya Chela Gimel Simen Nun Vav Os Beis. Yaradeya Chela Gimel Simen Nun Vav Os Beis. That a shear gris is our penny, which is a diameter of 19 millimeters.
It's a lot bigger than 4 millimeters.
A lot bigger than the Malcholos Bizvanenu. Correct. In the Lechem Simla, the Kisser Shulchan Aruch, so he has a copy or a diagram the size of a German coin from 1850, and which he says is a shear macholas, and that coin is basically the size of our penny. And that seems to be the common practice in America, that we assume if when you want to check whether a kesem is less than a shear kegris v'od, you use a penny to calculate that. And that's what Rabbi Karp quotes as well on the other side of the Atlantic, that many poskim assume that way. If you look in the Masifta Gemara, they quote the range of shitos. The range go between about 14 millimeters and 21 millimeters. In the Sefer Chok Uzman, it's a collection of contemporary poskim, Chok Uzman, page 64, they say that the old Asimon, anyone remember what Asimon was? So it used to be in Israel the way you used the payphone. Anyone remember what a payphone was? The way you used a payphone was you put in, you had to buy an Asimon, just like a subway token, for the payphone, and put that into the payphone. You couldn't put money in the payphone. Then they went to telecards. Now no one has payphones anymore. But the old Israeli Asimon was also the same size as the penny, 19 millimeters diameter. And he writes that in Yerushalayim, they would use an asimon to calculate a shear gris. I don't know what they use now. Then he quotes in the Chok Uzman, he has an aris there from Rabbi Ullman from the Badatz Eid HaRedis, who say that their minag was 20 millimeters, that's a kula, that's larger than a penny, which that's the size of a nickel. And apparently the first edition of the Me'il Tzaka, which goes back way before the Lechem Simla, and the first edition of the Me'il Tzaka, it said there, it had a coin that was 20 millimeters in diameter, So apparently that's what they use in the Eidah and Yerushalayim to calculate a gris. Now if you're to be machmir like the first reading of the Urayim and that camp, so what's the Shir Macholos Bizmanenu? So as I said, if you look on the internet, you'll find an average of 2 to 3 millimeters for lice. Rav Vosner, Shir Shevet Alevi, here in Sifhei, quotes that our contemporary lice are 5 to 6 millimeters. I don't know what research that's based on. That was before the internet. But either way, that's a lot less than 19, 20 millimeters.
Did Rav Vosner paskin with that smaller shear?
No, so I'll tell you what Rav Vosner said in a minute. So definitely not. But Rav Vosner says, what happens if someone wants to be machmir? So the overwhelming preponderance of the poskim assume that we go with the regular shear gris, 19 millimeters, I'd say. But someone wants to be machmir. Does he have the right to be machmir? Does he the right to be machmir to be metame a kesem that is less than a gris? So Rav Vosner quotes a chuvas chasim sofer, slightly different case. Chasim sofer yordeya simen kuf memtes. Chasim sofer yordeya simen kuf memtes. What was the shayla? There was an eishes chaver, an eishes tamafakam, who found the Mara, and the Mara was somewhat close to red, but not red. And the Mara Hara Paskin Lakula. It's not red, it's a Mara Tahor. And the husband, the Talmud, wanted to be Machmir on himself. So is he allowed to be Machmir on himself to treat his wife as Tameya, even if the Rav Paskin that she's Tahor, that it's a Mara Tahor? So Chassid Sofer writes that Kevin Shekein Darvin Shel Prushim Shel Yisrael Lihizar Midar Shahar B'Chacham. So there is such a tradition. You know, there's a notion in Yerideya of Behem Shahar B'Chacham that if it's a child of an animal, that a Baal Nefesh will be machmir not to eat the animal, even if the Chacham Paskin that it's kosher. So there is such a notion, says the Chassid Sofer. So when they got married, he wasn't so machmir. So the wife shouldn't the wife be able to say, look, when I married you, you didn't have such chumras, so how do you have the right to impose your chumras on me now? Says the Chasam Sofer, lo masi lemitan lo kabils alai shetia chasidu parish. She has no right to say that when we got married, I had no intention of you becoming such a chasid. I never accepted that upon myself. Elam Rinan. Kema Shinisa Sabachu Ragil. She married an average guy, an average yeshiva guy. Who's that? Sha'asa Leos Parish Vachasin. But that's the trajectory that he's on. Your average yeshiva guy is going to end up becoming a Parish Vachasin. That should be the aspiration. Ziknei Tamil Chachamin, Kol Zman Shemaskinin. They get wiser. Kishem Sha'amru Ashrei L'Nishasein Shal Eldad Medad. She should be happy that he wants to be machmir. And if she's crying against it, so that's the wrong attitude now. But the fact that he was on the trajectory, he was an average guy, that he's on the trajectory to become a parish and a chassid, so she has no right to protest his comments. Yeah, so you could well argue, but that's what the Chasam Sofer says. So Shevet Levi says, even if you accept the Chasam Sofer, but there's a difference between a questionable Mara and a Mara that's a Kesa and the Falk of Mika Gris. Questionable Mara, so you have to dine as a Maratar Maratame, what's the shape? So then maybe it makes sense if you want to be Machra on yourself on the shade, which could have been a gray area. But when it comes to sheer gris, so that's an objective karga. That there's never any xeris tzomim on palchus mika gris. So what right do you have to be machmir, essentially against the xeris chazal, that there's no Tumas Tzamen by Palkas Mikigris. So the Rebbe says that even the Chazon Sofer would acknowledge that you have no right to be machmer on a shir Palkas Mikigris. However, he says, if you want to be machmer for Machol Shem Bismanenu, that you have the right to do. To say that you're going to be machmer even less than a shir Machol Shem Bismanenu, that's going too far. That's going against the way Chazal instituted Zeres Tzamen. But if you want to be machmir, like the Reim, like the Shlomo Kluger, maybe like the Maril, that you're going to be machmir if it's Yosir, Mishir, Malkoz, Bismanenu, like the Lechem Simlas, Lechem Simlas, Baal Nefesh, that Rebbe says the person has the right to do. Rebbe Avadia writes, page Shinai and Beis, he quotes the Ben Ishchai. The Ben Ishchai records that there is a practice of women to be machmir for a kath and pachas mikagris. And Rav Avadia rails against that. He says that's not a proper minhag, and you have to publicize that they should be mevatel such a minhag, because that minhag was shelo v'rasim and chachamim. And he says that that minhag, that practice of the woman in Baghdad or wherever the Ben Ishchai was recording, be machmir on the kath and pachas mikagris, that was because they were lazy. They don't want to ask a shayla. He says, Einan rosas lidfolk al delosos bali ara. They don't want to knock on the rabbi's door, the laharas al machachamim, to show the kesam, to show the mara, to the rabbi. So it's not that they had a cheshbin why they were machmir or pachas mikagris. It was laziness. They didn't want to show the mara to the rav. The rabbi says, that's wrong, and that minhag should be eradicated. Then he quotes from a sefer, Admas Kodesh, who faults the Sephardi poskim for not being as involved in paskining shaylos and hilchos nida as the Ashkenazi poskim. They said by the Sephardim, the women would paskin their own shaylos, they'd end up being machmir, and that's not right. And he faults the Sephardi poskim for not taking the initiative to make sure that their constituents were asking the proper shaylos. Okay, let's stop here, and next time we will talk about further nafkamina between whether the Xeras Summon Pachas Mikigris is an absolute carve-out or not, and we'll talk about some of the other halachas that emerge from that discussion. So we'll spend another shiur on Gris, and then after that we'll talk about the other Kulas Summon. Yeah.
So two things. One, couldn't one read the Chasam Sofer as, if his understanding is that everything should be a snapshot in time from Chazal made the Takana,
right,
then should that also be L'chumra, meaning that he wouldn't necessarily agree with the logic of the Rebbe, the Ramban, the Shulchan Aruch, that if you find bigger Macholosim or something similar, that you can rely on that, because he would say that, no, Chazal said, stick with this, you know, it's frozen time, doesn't matter what we find today.
Well, no, but frozen, we don't know what their shir gris was, so it could be whatever shir gris you find, that's the shir gris of Chazal. We don't know what their gris was.
So he wasn't saying that...
He wasn't necessarily saying, meaning, he's not passing against the Shulchan Aruch that if you find a gris yotzer gadol, that you don't have the right to be maker.
Okay.
He's saying, as far as the, in the other direction, that even even if you don't have a... if you don't have the right to change the shear based on Machos Bismanenu.
So he accepted that we have a good Masorah for what Chazal's gris was?
Not necessarily. We can figure that out however we figure it out. But the theory is that whatever... so, that the shear was nikva based on a gris.
So he,
now, there could be more than one way of calculating gris. But that's not the point.
Did he have a like a minimum...
but the actual shear on
gris. So he would say that you go based off modern day. Meaning, like, what are you from this one day?
Again, most of the calculations of gris have to do with the, you know, how do you figure out Tisha Adashim and Lamed Vavsaros, which is based on Rishon, is based on much earlier sources. So that's a matter of calculating or adding, not so much a matter of what's the Masorah.
Okay. Especially in Eretz Yisrael, do Spartan generally possible like Rav Avadia that you only go based off of your modern Israeli louse of 2 to 3 centimeters.
The Ravadi didn't say that. Ravadi just quoted Shlomo Kluger's Machmir.
Right.
The Ravadi himself wasn't Machmir that way.
Oh, he wasn't Machmir.
Like, no, you go like the regular, regular Shirgis.
You're saying it's said in
Nelson Dachau
27
days.
I thought it was a nickel
in
that stuff.
That's a
nickel. The Machmir
gave it.
No, it's not.
What?
The nickel's like 21 something.
A nickel is.
Nickel used to be different one, isn't it?
Is
this
like I have a nickel
bag in this place? No, that needs a size.
Similar.
I don't know.
I'm going to help it right up against it.